Welcome to Sooner Politics Weekend Report. I'm David Vann. We're glad to have you with us this weekend. Hope you're staying warm. It's been quite a February, hasn't it? Let's get right into our first story. Gun rights restored in Oklahoma. This has been a big week at the Capitol, and we're just going to scratch the surface of it tonight. Let's talk about our lead story. If you see the collection of lawmakers and lobbyists and activists here in the picture, you'll notice a young woman with a man standing behind her left shoulder. Well, the young woman is, of course, a freshman legislator, a former legislative assistant. Her name is Denise Crosswhite Hayter. But it's the fellow over her left shoulder I want to talk about. That's Don Spencer. Don's having a bumper crop year of harvesting for hard work at the Capitol. Now, Don's not the only one working there, but he's written a lot of bills. He's gotten a lot of support from all of these lawmakers over the years. Some of these are current lawmakers. Some are brand new. Some of them have left public service, but they've all had a hand in crafting our Oklahoma gun policy initiative. Now, what's happened this week? We basically got constitutional carry, sort of. If you notice the fellow way over there on your, I guess it'd be your right, Nathan Dom, he actually authored a bill last year, Senate Bill, was it 1212, I think, or Senate Bill 12. Anyway, it last minute passed the House passed the Senate, went to the governor after they adjourned for the session, and the governor vetoed it. Well, it's back. Now, Senator Dom's Senate bill did not actually get this quick action. It was actually the action in the House. Way in the back in the middle is majority floor leader, John Eccles. And John worked really hard on this. He's got quite a bit of help from some of these other men in the picture, including Sean Roberts to his immediate right, your left, Sean there in the back, Tom Gann way over there on your left, was a part of it. A new guy right next to Tom in front there is Representative Jim Olson, and front and center there is Senator David Bullard. These are some of the people that pushed really hard on this, and they got it done. Governor Kevin Stitt signed his first legislation into law this week. It was this bill. Here's what it does. Whereas you used to need to go to classes all day long, bring your own gun, bring your own ammunition, pass the class, get all the paperwork, then you go down to your sheriff, you pay him a bunch more money after you paid for the class money. Doesn't matter that your mom and dad, you know, and grandpa and grandma already taught you how to shoot. That's not good enough, or wasn't good enough for the state. You had to go through this class. And then you get your fingerprints so that the government has more information on your private biodata. Then you have to pay about $250 to the state, and eventually you get a license, not a liberty. Remember, a liberty is something guaranteed to us in the Constitution. A license is something we have to buy, that which would otherwise be illegal. It's time we restored our rights. What this does is give you the right to carry arms without going through all the hoops, paying all the money, having the pieces of paper. you are assumed to have a right to keep and bear arms. Now, there are going to be a few limits. Mind you, the Constitution itself says you shall not be deprived of these rights without due process of law. What is that? That means if you've been convicted of abusing others with your rights, you lose your rights. If you've harmed people, if you're a violent felon, you've lost that right. If you've proven to be so mentally unstable that you pose a threat to others and the courts have had to intervene in mental health issues, you lose that right. This is as it should be. This right belongs to emancipated adults. Doesn't belong to a five-year-old. Again, these are the things that we do to ensure safety. So, given all that, now what you have the right to do as of November 1st, this goes into effect. Then you'll be able to carry arms to protect yourself. That means the mother that has an emergency protective order to protect her and or her kids can now go to the park or go for a walk in the neighborhood and carry without all the paperwork. Most of our emergencies where we have to protect ourselves don't give us a month's advance notice. No, we have to carry now when the emergency comes upon us. So this is a great week. This is our headline. Let's come back with page two after this message. Let's talk about SoonerPolitics.org. SoonerPolitics is a citizen journalism project that we started nearly 5 years ago. It was an effort for citizens like you and me to make sure the news was getting out there that maybe the commercial or professional media wasn't covering, or perhaps they were held hostage to an agenda that really wasn't in the best interest of you and me. So citizen journalism is an essential part of keeping our democracy, and it's in that effort that we boldly proclaim that the freedom of the press is important for all of us. It's not just for commercial media. It's the right of the individual to print, publish, and distribute his free speech. You and I are the press just as much as the commercial media is. We need a strong commercial media. We need a strong professional media. But we also need the ability for us citizens to communicate directly with each other. And SoonerPolitics.org is just one of the tools whereby dozens, literally dozens of Oklahoma bloggers work together to make sure in this cooperative effort that we are able to stay better informed. Be sure to go to SoonerPolitics.org. No subscription fee, no membership. We appreciate you supporting our sponsors. Welcome back to Sooner Politics, page two. I'm David Vann. Our next story, 4 years of reforms. I'm telling you folks, it's almost unbelievable. It was not even 4 years ago, but this week, 4 years ago, the Oklahoma House did the unthinkable. They began to chip away at our state's prohibition on cannabis medicines. And it started with this young boy in blue. This is Cayman. Cayman and his family have struggled with some health issues. Cayman's seizures have been so debilitating and have not responded effectively to medications that the doctors have been legally able to give him up until not even four years ago. It was then that his family said, please, government of Oklahoma, give us the opportunity to try an experimental homeopathic essential oil called CBD oil. Well, that met with some resistance, but Cayman's story was compelling. Cayman and another little girl named Katie became the inspiration for this battle to really reassess where our drug policy is and where it should be. 4 years ago this week, the Oklahoma legislature, by 85 votes in the affirmative, decided to do a trial run of legalizing an essential oil called CBD oil. Mind you, this does come from the cannabis plant, marijuana, but it's without the THC, the psychoactive portion of the marijuana plant. So, without the fear of somebody getting high, we were able to give this under doctor supervision to people suffering epilepsy. Very few. This was a trial run. But it had so much success, so much restored quality of life, that in the 3.5 years since, we have seen an enormous growth in the number of people turning to CBD oil for so many health issues. Yes, there were a number of legislators who were not willing to give this an opportunity. 3.5 years ago, if you were caught with a little bottle of CBD oil, you would face up to a 5-year prison sentence for felony possession of a controlled substance. Yeah, even though it's non-addictive, non-hallucinating, non-psychoactive, this is where we were just 3.5 years ago. In the 3.5 years since then, we have seen thousands of lives of Oklahomans restored. I hear stories every week of people doing so much better. Pain management, sleep disorders, Parkinson's disease, so many things that people are benefiting from this essential oil we know as CBD. You see shops everywhere. You can buy it online. You can buy it in the big box stores. But again, 3.5 years ago, it brought you a 5-year prison sentence. Moms trying to take care of their kids risk going to prison for 5 years because of our antiquated drug policy. So, what's happened since then? Just 6 months ago, we began medical marijuana. That meant we added the THC to the medicine that we allow doctors to recommend and oversee the treatment of. And so these doctors are now giving this medicine to people, and there's more to the story. We'll talk about it when we come back after this with page 3. Let me take a moment to tell you about Triad Heat and Air Company here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, serving northeastern Oklahoma for several years now. Ted Smith is a fine businessman who operates by the old-fashioned ethic of treating others the way you want to be treated. In fact, sometimes going beyond. Ted and Rhonda are some fantastic Oklahoma citizens and great neighbors to have here. Next time your family has a need, maybe the heater went out, maybe it'll be this summer before you need some help, trust Triad Heat and Air. Trust Triad to keep your home as comfortable as can be. They're at 918-622-6000, Triad Heat and Air. Welcome back to Sooner Politics Weekend Report. I'm David Van, and you're here for page 3. Our next story is 6 months of recovery. Do you know it's been 6 months since we began issuing medical marijuana cards to patients? Patients who worked with their physicians, we required a physician to sign off on this, Oklahoma certified physician who's legally able to treat people for health conditions. So what's happened in the last 6 months? Well, the health department first tried to kill it with onerous restrictions that eventually the attorney general had to step in and say, back off, you are setting us up for a huge lawsuits, class actions, civil rights lawsuits. We've got problems here, folks, and our health department became a big part of the problem. But here's what else they did. They did set up the Oklahoma Medical Marijuana Authority. Now, the Commissioner of the Public Health, Tom Bates, told the legislature in early August that he projected maybe as much as 80,000 licenses to be issued. Well, guess what? Now, that's issued just in the first year, the first 12 months. We're halfway through, and we are on pace to blow that out of the water. Right now, we're issuing about 5,000 new licenses each week just for patients. That doesn't include all of the growers, all of the dispensers, all of the caregivers, all the product processors. And we're getting ready for more licenses to be issued for transport and other things, research, number of things. So, at 5,000 a week, if we continue at this current clip, over the next 26 weeks, we're going to see an additional 130,000 licenses issued. Mind you, we are over 50,000 already, close to 60,000. By the time we're done, we expect, at this rate, to more than double what the health department thought we were going to see. We have collected well over $10 million in license fees from the people of Oklahoma. These license fees are just for the right to take the medicine, or to grow it, or dispense it, or process it. All right? We put a huge tax on this. You know how we argued that the legislature is not showing good faith to the people by not giving the people a right to vote on tax increases? I mean, they've struggled over the last 5-6 years every which way they can to pass new taxes without bringing it to a vote of the people. But do you know what we did last summer? The people voted for a tax increase without any assistance of the legislature. Yes, the medical marijuana program is producing taxes at a significant clip. Now, the first month of reporting sales tax, we collected about $300,000 from dispensaries. This is just in January. Now, there's hardly any medicine available right now. We are not even ready for planting the biggest summer crop of medical marijuana in Oklahoma. Mind you, we cannot import legally. This has to be Oklahoma grown. This whole thing has to stay in Oklahoma in order to comply with law. As long as there's THC in it, it's a controlled substance. Okay, so let's move on to this. So what we've got happening here is not only a self-sustaining program, but one that's actually going to bring in extra money for the state. We're taxing it at somewhere around 16%, even though the people said, no, we'll tax it at 7%. Our Oklahoma Tax Commission has decided to interpret things in a way that most voters would not. And so they decided, well, we think we're going to call that an excise tax, not a sales tax, that 7% that we voted on last summer. And since it's subject to an excise tax, therefore, we decided it's subject to sales tax, even though it's medicine directed by a doctor. So we've got about 16-17% tax rate in most of the state of Oklahoma, depending on what your local taxes are. All right. Despite all that, we've got people now telling stories. I've got stacks of them. People that have written to the legislature, written to their dispensaries, sharing their stories. So Thursday night, I, as a member of National Alliance for Mental Illness, the Tulsa chapter, was part of a town hall for people who want to tell their story, particularly on mental health. You see the picture there. Eventually, I was going to get to this picture. All right. Thank you for being patient. The man on the left there in the dark blue suit is a young Navy veteran named Cody. Cody had severe PTSD when he was discharged with a disability from the Navy. Cody's family, after I think three psychiatric hospitalizations, his family said, go to Colorado and let's try medical marijuana. So under proper supervision, he did. Cody showed us this big bag of pills. He had a Ziploc bag that was like, gallon size. And it was most of the way full with about, I forget how many he said, 900 and some pills, I think. And he said, this is what the VA gave me for a month's supply to take care, or to attempt to take care of my generalized anxiety disorder, depression, PTSD, agoraphobia. He listed a number of things. It's very complex. And then he showed us this tiny little vial, about an inch tall little glass thing. And he said, this is a little vial of oil that I use in a little personal vaporizer. He said, the only medicine I now take for a month is this little 1 gram vial. He vapes it now. So it's kind of a steam, an inhaled medication, gives him instant relief when he's in a panic attack. And that's as it should be. The VA wanted him to just swallow some more pills and do his best to tolerate it for the next half hour to an hour until the medication kicks in. Well, that doesn't always work, as we know from a story about a year ago in Owosso. A veteran, three tours in the Middle East, and he's in such bad shape. His wife is now caring for the family, trying to take care of him and provide for the family, so she has to go to work. One day, he was doing particularly tough, he was in bad shape for about a week, at least a week, and so the wife calls the Owosso police and say, hey, could you do a wellness check? Could you go check on my husband? And as the police are wont to do, they need to identify that they are the police. And a couple of them went to the door, pounded on the door and said, called his name, said police, and open up. And that threw this veteran into a flashback, a psychotic event. He came to the door with a gun. The police shot and killed him. Another tragedy because he was not effectively treated for his PTSD condition. So it's for all the veterans like Cody, all the deceased veterans who have been yet another casualty of our wars, that I've gotten involved in this as a mental health advocate. I want to say thank you to all the courageous people who are stepping up and telling their story. This is a medical program. Are there abuses? Heck yeah, where are there not abuses? In anything our government does. Anything. But it's for the legitimate conditions of people who need their lives restored, who need the hope that there is something that will treat their condition. For those people, I support 788, the medical marijuana program, and I support the full implementation with the least amount of restrictions, and I'm glad to report that 93 of our 101 legislators voted with the leadership, and we got some things done. We'll talk about that more after this. Do you ever get the sense that the business of staying healthy is sometimes being co-opted by major pharmaceutical corporations? Yeah, I do too. In fact, some of the best medicines are not the ones that have a patent exclusivity for one company. And New Wellness is one of those companies here in Oklahoma that is actually going back to rediscovering some of the old medicines, the homeopathics, the oils, the plant-based medicine. I want you to, next time you have a health need, look to naturopathic means to take care of yourself. In fact, you might just save yourself a lot of health problems by proactively working with all of the tools of homeopathy. Go to newwellness.com. That's GNUwellness.com, 918-949-6699. Welcome back to Page 4, Sooner Politics Weekend Report. I'm David Van. Glad you're with me tonight. Yes, I teased it in our last segment, but medical marijuana gets 93% support in a House vote. This week, this in front is John Eccles. He's the majority floor leader. He's having a great session, folks. He's become a champion of liberty in Oklahoma in a fantastic way. Over his right shoulder there is Scott Vetgatter. Scott is from Okmulgee. Let me tell you about Scott. Last summer, Scott voted no on medical marijuana. Scott had a lot of serious concerns about it. But it passed with 57% of the vote. Let me tell you what Scott did. Instead of complaining, subverting, trying to undermine it, Scott did everything he could to make it better and to make it accessible, make it workable. Some in our state government are doing everything they can to subvert it. And yes, I will start calling out names. I have in the past. I'll continue to do so. Some of them are facing felony indictments for some of the things they're doing. Some are yet to be named in indictments. But we expect those indictments to come. All right, getting back to these two fellas. They went to work this summer during a time of uproar in the state in the month of July. People were furious at our health department for blatant efforts to go beyond their constitutional powers in an attempt to try to kill the medical marijuana program before it even got off the ground. John Eccles saw what was happening. So did Scott Vetgatter. Vetgatter put aside his personal opinions about should we, shouldn't we, was this a good idea, was it not. He said, let's work with it. So John Eccles called together an interim study. He got with Senator Greg McCourtney, and the two of them decided to co-chair a bicameral or joint interim study on medical marijuana. It took 13 weeks of testimony, hearings, questions, answers, research. John got with a number of people and he said, tell me, how would you fix what we've got right now? And I was one of those people who was invited to speak to this thing. And I really, I gave a little bit of feedback indirectly, but mostly I was not at the table writing this. But I support what John did to find a certain amount of consensus. And what John Eccles is doing is presenting the framework. What we've got right now is State Question 788. Some of it is vague. Some of it's incomplete. Some of it is barely workable. The health department has powers to write emergency rules. Those rules expire at the end of this summer. So we have to have a framework in place, a durable set of guidelines, statutes, if you will. And Representative Eccles and Representative Vetgatter have built a consensus and presented on the floor this week, just 2 days ago, the Medical Marijuana Unity Bill. Why is it called Unity? Because these are the things that the legislators, especially those in the interim study and in the committees that have looked at it, they say, yeah, we can live with this. That doesn't mean there aren't other bills. That doesn't mean there aren't further changes coming. But this is a core set of measures that will put in place something permanent that is sustainable, that's workable, and relatively honest, credible, and hopefully will be not abused very much. Again, anything the government does, you're going to see abuse. But we're here for the real patients, not the people that are just looking for a cheap ticket to a joyride. All right. So they brought it to the House. Representative Fettgatter was the floor sponsor. He presented it. We had about an hour of question and answer. Now, some of these questions, in fact, some of the people who did not vote for it, it wasn't because they wanted to make it illegal. It's because they thought that this bill was going to hamper it more than it should be. Democrat Representative Shane Stone was one of those. He really felt like we were putting too many restrictions in, and he felt like the voters of Oklahoma did not support it. He also felt like we ignored certain things that should have been in this bill. Well, I don't think Shane Stone or other people like him are all that disappointed. I think they know that, you know, more is coming. But when the vote came down, the vote was 93%. I talked to Representative Fettgatter later Thursday, and I think he was surprised. You know, I'll let Scott speak for himself, but I think he was truly surprised that they got more than 90% of the vote. Now, remember we talked earlier in the segment this weekend about Katie and Kamen's law when we passed a law that for a trial medical program just for CBD, essential oils, for kids suffering debilitating seizures, multiple seizures a day. Do you know that only got, I think, 85 votes? 85. This got 93. This tells me that we're turning a corner in how we look at old medicines with therapeutic value. Even if they don't cure something, if they make the quality of life better, if they provide temporary relief, if they allow a cancer patient who's going through chemotherapy to maybe have a little relief from their nausea so they can get a meal and keep their weight up and keep their energy so they can fight this cancer. If it can help a kid with seizures, if it can help grandma with her severe arthritis so bad that the opiate medications quit working and she's tempted to take them in higher dose and now she's addicted. We've got so many people addicted. If it helps the veterans with PTSD, you know, if it can help the people suffering from glaucoma, there are so many things and we're just scratching the surface. So, folks, I want to congratulate my fellow Oklahomans for the courage to question it. Did we go awry? Did we get off the path? I want to thank you for helping to correct something where we've gotten it wrong on our drug policy. And we'll be back with page 5. When's the last time you were in an old-fashioned carpenter shop? Well, it's been a while for me, too. Let me tell you some of the quality you'll find when you go to thecarpentershop.net serving Central Oklahoma. If you're sick of the cheap, junky, contractor-grade cabinetry that came with your home, or that maybe somebody just threw in on a cheap insurance disaster recovery project, next time you want good cabinets, the next time you want something that says something about the quality that you put in your home, contact thecarpentershop.net. Al and the team work with all the finest woods, all the finest finishes, and all the best designs. From traditional to contemporary, thecarpentershop.net. Let them be your source the next time you want to make a better statement in improving your home. Carpentershop.net. Welcome back to Sooner Politics Weekend Report. I'm David Vann, and yes, that's John Eccles again in the foreground, the majority floor leader of the Oklahoma House of Representatives. He's got another winner this week with State Question 788 going retro. Now, State Question 780, it passed 2 years ago, and what it had to do with was a narrow section of felony criminal law that we had to relook at and say, is this really a felony, or is this really more worthy of a misdemeanor classification? And it has to do with this. We've talked about Cody, the veteran with PTSD. We talked about Cayman, the young man with the seizure disorders, whose parents wanted to treat him with CBD oil. Well, 2 years ago, we decided, the people of Oklahoma, the citizens, not the legislature, the citizens decided that we were going to reclassify small doses of what the state or federal government considered a controlled substance. Controlling a small, holding, possessing a small dose, should that really be a felony? And we overwhelmingly said no, that should be a misdemeanor. Mind you, Oklahoma, which I consider some of the finest people in the nation, some of the finest people on earth, are my fellow Oklahomans. We have the highest incarceration rate in the world. Are we really that evil? Or is our criminal code maybe that screwed up? I suggest it's the latter. And 780 was an effort to correct that. Now, 780 does not involve anybody who's in the obvious distribution of narcotics, your pushers, okay? Doesn't apply to them. They still are going to sit there with their felony convictions. It doesn't apply to anybody who's guilty of a violent crime. They've harmed somebody or presented a threat of harm to somebody, 780 doesn't apply to them. But for the person who only possessed the means of something that, in worst case scenario, might not have been healthy for that person to consume, okay, then they become their only victim. For those people, we decided to quit prosecuting them with felony prison sentences. 5 years. Remember, Cayman's mom, the boy we talked about earlier, the young boy, for his mother to have that little bottle of CBD oil, she was risking a 5-year prison sentence. If she had, 4 years ago, been convicted, or 3 years ago, well, 3.5 years ago, if she had been convicted, she'd still be potentially in prison to this day. Remember, we have a 95% or 85% rule. You can't even get to parole until you spend 85% of that, at best. And then you have to qualify and be recommended for it. So, for people like Cayman's mom, we decided, no, she should not risk that, okay? But for people who, you know, were possessing a small amount of, let's say, marijuana, we decided, no, this is at best a misdemeanor. Well, now what we're doing with 780, and yes, I eventually got to it, there's a bill that these two men, Jason Dunnington, the Democrat, over John's right shoulder, the two of them are teaming up to present legislation that will make 780 retro to this narrow group of convicted felons who were convicted on simple possession of a small amount with no violence, no intent to distribute. For those people, whether they've served out their time or not, they still have that permanent felony record that goes with them the rest of their lives. It prevents them from many job opportunities. It prevents them from several opportunities to do a number of things. It keeps them from having their civil rights restored. Again, what was our first story tonight? Restoring our Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms. That's essential to our right of self-defense. So 780 is going through the legislature right now. This week, I expect it to come up in the House. Let your lawmakers know where you are on State Question 780. It's essential. It's coming up maybe this week. It just passed out of the House on Thursday. I want to salute these two men. Don't always agree with either of them. But they're having a banner week this week, and they deserve our respect. They deserve our support. They could use it right now. Call your lawmakers, your senator, your House members. Tell them to support this effort to make 780 retro and get these people back to work, back home to families, back on the job, and back paying taxes instead of costing us so stinking much in taxes to keep them incarcerated. They didn't harm anybody. They may not have been wise in what they put in their own body, but by my book, that's not a felony. I'm David Vann for Sooner Politics Weekend Report. Thank you so much for being a part of this. We've got plenty of changes coming. Yes, you're seeing a little bit of a new look in our layout and our set. We're glad to be a part of it. Oh, I got one more thing I want to tell you about. The OK GOP reloaded, and I want to tell you what we did. Here's a picture. Last weekend, I had a big weekend. Yes, I wasn't here last weekend. I was fighting off a head cold and everything, but I finally got well enough to get to my county convention. And we had elections from Tulsa County. These are the six who were elected, and of course, yours truly, in the picture nearest me, there's myself. My fellow county party officials. Your county Republican Party either has had their convention or is about to. I believe Cleveland County, Wagner County are holding theirs today as we speak. Next weekend, the Oklahoma County is having their convention. That's down there, Oklahoma City, and all the surrounding communities there in the county. Be sure to be a part of it. And then, coming up in April, be sure to be a part of our state convention. It's time to move forward. We're reloading. We are refreshing. We are excited about what comes up in the just, you know, we're, in fact, 1 year from today, we will be facing Super Tuesday in Oklahoma again. This is going to be an interesting year. Be a part of it. Stay tuned. Stay close. Let's all be a part of making Oklahoma a better place to live and a shining example how the United States should live. Good night. I'm David Vann. Glad you're with me. Have a great night. You know, one of the things I like about family-run businesses here in Oklahoma are some of the solid business ethics that you see by Oklahoma families taking care of other Oklahoma family needs. George and Becky Fott are two such people. They're Clean Pro Carpet Fire Water Restoration Company has been serving the Muskogee area for many, many years, and now in their second generation with Jameson and the rest of the team, they're restoring to much of eastern Oklahoma's special needs for maintenance as well as disaster recovery. Look to George and Jameson and the whole team next time you have a need. Take a look at your carpets right now. Are you ready for carpet cleaning? Forget the big bulky machines you have to lug in and out of the grocery store. Just call Jameson and George and the team. They're in Muskogee, 918-686-0222. That's Clean Pro, Oklahoma. You can contact them at cleanpromuskogee.com.